We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, there is a culture clash. Tula is a woman who's grown up in a Greek family. She unfortunately falls in love with a man who is not Greek. And the real clash comes to a head when the parents meet. Now, the couple had planned that this would be a nice, quiet, intimate evening. But Tula's Greek extended family thought otherwise. And so when her fiancé's parents arrived at her house, these kind of quiet, very polite, very proper people, they were surrounded by this boisterous Greek family singing and dancing and all speaking in Greek. Well, obviously, the dinner didn't go very well. The movie points out, of course, that both cultures, the Greek culture and the non-Greek, were loving, and neither was superior to the other. But in our gospel today, Jesus describes the most superior lifestyle of all, the kingdom of heaven. Now, maybe a family culture is a way to understand the kingdom of heaven, because it's more than about what happens after we die. The kingdom of heaven is a way of living. It's a way of looking at the world and looking at other people. It's a way of life that begins in this life and extends throughout eternity. Today and in the next 2 weeks, Jesus is going to be telling us 7 different stories or parables that help us to understand this very hard to understand and beautiful concept of the kingdom of God. Today, it seems as though the parable is meant to help Jesus' followers understand why many people rejected his words and his picture of the kingdom. And he explains that people receive the word or the seed in different ways, 4 different ways. Sometimes, for instance, Jesus asks us to repent and we resist. And we say, I'm not the one who's impatient. I'm not the one who's stubborn. I'm not the one who's prejudiced. I'm not the one who's resentful. It's him, it's her, it's them. And then that seed simply never puts down roots. Sometimes God sends us amazing experiences and opportunities, but our hearts at that moment are like rocky soil. And that happens, for instance, when we might be excited by an opportunity at first. Yes, I'm going to have coffee with that lonely person in my office that nobody talks to. Yes, I'm going to patronize that new store that the immigrants have opened, even though it's a little different. Yes, we're going to go to counseling. And yet, once we begin these things, we start to feel uncomfortable, and we stop, we quit, and the seed dies. Sometimes the seed falls on our hearts when our hearts are kind of thorny. That might happen, for instance, when we start a good thing. We get up a little earlier in the morning, so we have some quiet time, and we pray. But it isn't long before, you know, all the busyness of life just start encroaching on that time, and we don't do it anymore. Or we might promise our family that we're going to spend less time at work. And then we're offered a promotion and more money and, of course, more responsibility, and we fall back on that promise. We forget it. Or it might be that we have started wanting to give a little more money to a charity or to church, and we start doing it, but then we find that we are upgrading all our electronics and there isn't any money left the next month. In all these cases, we start to do something good. We're given the spirit that God gives us, but then the cares of the world or the lures of wealth keep us from following through, and the seed dies. Sometimes, by the grace of God, that opportunity comes when our hearts are open, and we can, with God's help, push away those fears of not having enough time or not having enough money. And we can be open to that opportunity, and we can experience the kingdom of God. So you see, although this parable was probably originally intended to help Jesus' followers understand why some people in his day rejected his teachings, It also explains why sometimes we do. We are probably all four kinds of soil in our lives, maybe all at once. And that's why it's so important that we focus on the sower. We focus on the sower in this parable. Now, this farmer was not a good farmer. I mean, he was wasteful, he was foolish, he was a risk taker. Anybody could tell you, you don't throw seed on the path or on stones or on thorns and expect anything to happen. But you see, it's a picture of God. And when it comes to loving us, God is wasteful and foolish and a risk taker. And we see that in so many ways. It's like what parents do, isn't it? Parents are wasteful out of love. Parents may waste food as they try to teach their child to get to enjoy new foods. There may be quite a bit of food that goes down the disposal. Or parents may waste their time as they try to potty train a child who is resisting. Or parents may waste money as they buy something their child really wants at the moment, and then they see it is cast off not long after that. Parents are wasteful out of love. And so is God. God showers us with gifts, created a beautiful world, sent us prophets to give us guidance, sent us a precious son to die so that our hard and rocky and thorny hearts would become good soil and we could experience the joy of the kingdom. And as the seed takes root, we find that we become more like the farmer. And we find that we begin out of love to be wasteful and foolish and to even take risks. One Sunday morning, a man noticed a new couple in church, and he went over and talked to them, and they were from another state, actually. They had come to take teaching positions in that small town. And this man, because he had a Bible class on Sunday evenings, invited them to come, and they thanked him, and they didn't come. He watched for them. Periodically, they were in church. But every Sunday afternoon, he would call them and invite them to his Bible study. Something about them, something about the man in particular, made him persist. Even when he thought he caught a little tone of irritation as he made his umpteenth invitation, but he still asked. One day, the man came to the Bible study, and he kept coming. And gradually, that family became integral to the congregation. Now, I was told this story by the young man, who said, yes, indeed, he was irritated at this man. And in fact, he only went to the Bible study to get the man off his back. But he was so glad he did. It was the beginning of a time of great spiritual growth for him and his wife. He was very grateful to this man who took a risk, the risk of being irritating, in order to persist in inviting him. He told me this story many years after it happened, while he was the chairman of our congregation. As the seed takes root, we find the strength through the help of God to love as God loves, to love lavishly. People may not always deserve our love. They may not want our love. They may not even accept our love. But that's not the point. The children's story says it all, that whenever we do something loving for someone else, whether they receive it, whether they deserve it, whether they understand it at all, it is a gift to God. Whenever we do something loving, no matter how routine, it puts a smile on Jesus' face. In other words, it brings joy to our heavenly parent who never stops showering us with love and forgiveness, like the sower. Amen.